In the late 1980s, Pakistani President Benazir Bhutto, feeling that the Mujahideen network has grown too strong, tells President G.H. Bush, "You are creating a Frankenstein." However, the warning goes unheeded. By 1993, President Bhutto tells Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak that Peshawar is under de facto control of the Mujahideen and unsuccessfully asks for military help in reasserting Pakistani control over the city. Thousands of Mujahideen fighters return to their home countries after the war is over and engage in multiple acts of violence. One Western diplomat notes that these thousands would never have been trained or united without United States help, and says the consequences of this are astronomical. That comes from Atlantic Monthly, May 96. Astronomical consequences. 1986 and 1987, U.S. helps Afghan allies launch attacks into the Soviet Union. In 1986, the CIA, MI6, and the Pakistani ISI agreed to launch guerrilla attacks from Afghanistan into then-Soviet-controlled Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, attacking military installations, factories, and storage depots within Soviet territory. Some Afghans have been trained for this purpose since 1985. The task is given to Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, an Afghan warlord closely linked to the ISI. In March 87, small units crossed from bases in northern Afghanistan into Tajikistan and launched their first rocket attacks against villages there. These secret attacks are strongly backed by CIA Director William Casey, and apparently they come to an end when he dies later in 87. September 1986, CIA provides Afghan rebels Stinger missiles. Mujahideen preparing to fire a Stinger missile. Worried that the Soviets are winning the war in Afghanistan, the U.S. decides to train and arm the Mujahideen with Stinger missiles. Yep, we're training and arming. The Soviets are forced to stop using the attack helicopters that were being used to devastating effect. Some claim the Stingers turn the tide of the war and lead directly to Soviet withdrawal. Now the Mujahideen are better trained and armed. 1987 to 89, the Al-Kifa Refugee Center shared the same building as the Al-Farak Mosque. Ali Muhammad, while still an instructor at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, frequently spends his weekends traveling to meet with Islamic activists at the refugee center in Brooklyn. The Independent calls Al-Kifa, founded in 1987 and containing the Al-Farouk Mosque, a place of pivotal importance to Operation Cyclone, the American effort to support the Mujahideen. Al-Kifa and the Associated Afghan Refugee Services Incorporated were raising funds and crucially providing recruits for the Afghan struggle with active U.S. government assistance. Funds raised are sent to the MAK office in Peshawar, Pakistan. Bin Laden is working with MAK at the time, and it will turn it into Al-Qaeda in 1989. Both MAK and Al-Kifa are also closely linked to radical Islamic leader Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman. Muhammad teaches the Islamic activists survival techniques, map reading, and how to recognize tanks and other Soviet weapons. He frequently stays at the home of El-Sayed Nozar. In July 1989, the FBI monitors him teaching Nozar and some of the future members of the 93 World Trade Center bomb plot how to shoot weapons. Toward the end of this period, he informs his superiors that he has renewed his association with Abdul Rahman. Muhammad will move to Brooklyn in May 90 while keeping a residence in Santa Clara, California. His connections to the Islamist network develop rapidly from this point on. 1987 to 1991, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, fights and works with Afghanistan. KSM is a Pakistani who spent most of his childhood in Kuwait, went to college at North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University in the U.S. from 83 to 86. Then in 87, he goes to Afghanistan to take part in the struggle against the Russians. two of his brothers die in the fighting there. Another brother, Zayed Sheikh Mohammed, works for a prominent Islamic charity there and introduces KSM to Abdul Razul Sayaf, an Afghan warlord. KSM serves as Sayaf's secretary and helps recruit Arabs to fight in Afghanistan for Sayaf's faction. At the time, the CIA and Saudi Arabia are spending billions of dollars funding warlords such as Sayaf. The LA Times will later call Sayaf the favored recipient of money from the Saudi and American governments. While in Afghanistan, KSM gets to know bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and other future al-Qaeda leaders. April 1987, Hamid Ghul becomes head of ISI. General Ghul is a favorite of CIA Station Chief Milt Bearden and U.S. Ambassador to Pakistan Arnie Rafael, who view him as an ally and potential national leader of Afghanistan. According to Bearden, however, he will later, sometime after 90, turn against the U.S. Evidence will later appear that in the late 90s, Ghul is somehow able to give the Taliban advanced warnings of U.S. attempts to assassinate bin Laden with missile strikes. In 2004, allegations will appear in the U.S. media that Ghul was a key participant in the 9/11 plot and bin Laden's master planner. There go the cops. September 87 to March 89. Michael Springman, the head U.S. consular official in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, later claims that during this period, he is repeatedly ordered to issue more than 100 visas to unqualified applicants. He turns them down but is repeatedly overruled by superiors. In one case, two Pakistanis apply for visas to attend a trade show in the U.S., but they are unable to name the trade show or the city in which it will be held. When Springman denies him a visa, he gets an almost immediate call from a CIA case officer hidden in the commercial section of the consulate that I should reverse myself and grant these guys a visa. I remember this story from 2001. Springman refuses, but the decision is reversed by the chief of the consular section. Springman realizes that even the ambassador, Walter Cutler, is aware of the situation, which becomes more brazen and blatant as time goes on. On one occasion, Springman is even told, if you want a job in the State Department in the future, you will change your mind. Springman loudly complains to numerous government offices, but no action is taken. He's fired, and his files on these applicants are destroyed. He later learns that recruits from many countries fighting for bin Laden against Russia in Afghanistan were funneled through the Jeddah office to get visas to come to the U.S. where the recruits would travel to train for the Afghan war. According to Springman, the Jeddah consulate was run by the CIA and staffed almost entirely by intelligence agents. This visa system may have continued at least through 9/11, and 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers received their visas from there, possibly as part of this program. 1988, Ali Mohammed fights in Afghanistan but is not punished for it. Ali Mohammed was now an instructor at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare School at Fort Bragg, and he travels to Afghanistan to train Mujahideen. He tells friends that he plans to join the Mujahideen in Afghanistan and kill Russians. He informs Supervisor Lieutenant Colonel Steve Neely of his plans, who passes the information up the chain of command. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Anderson, Mohammed's commanding officer, also reports Mohammed's suspicious activities to Fort Bragg officials and Army intelligence, but gets no response. Mohammed takes 1 month of leave and goes to Afghanistan. No action is taken to prevent him from doing this. When he returns, he boasts of his combat exploits to his colleagues. Lieutenant Colonel Anderson writes up a second report and again gets no response. Freelance fighting would be a serious breach of military rules, and the New York Times will later note the capture or death of an American serviceman in Afghanistan would have been a major international embarrassment to the United States. However, no disciplinary action is taken against him. This leads Anderson to conclude that Mohammed's activities are sponsored by a U.S. intelligence agency. Anderson will state, I think you or I would have a better chance of winning the lottery than an Egyptian major in the unit that assassinated Sadat would have of getting a visa getting to California, getting into the Army, and getting assigned to a special forces unit. That just doesn't happen. He will add that it is equally unthinkable that an ordinary U.S. soldier would go unpunished after fighting in a foreign war. Muhammad is also stealing classified documents from the base. Some of them will be discovered by U.S. investigators in 90. According to a U.S. Army spokesperson, an officer working with Muhammad did have some suspicions about what he did, but nothing came as a result of it. It really depended on who you believed. 1988. Here we go. Al-Qaeda, possibly the name of a computer database. Robin Cook, British Foreign Secretary from 97 to 2003, will later say that Al-Qaeda was originally the name of a database. In a 2005 article, Cook will write that bin Laden was a product of a monumental miscalculation by Western security agencies. Throughout the 80s, he was armed by the CIA and funded by the Saudis to wage jihad against the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. Al-Qaeda, literally the database, was originally the computer file of the thousands of mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA to defeat the Russians. Cook will give no explanation as to how he might know this. 1988 to the spring of 95, KSM's brother works for a charity allegedly connected to CIA. Zahid Sheikh Mohammed, brother of 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, works as the head of the Pakistani branch of the charity Mercy International. A book published in 1989 will allege that this charity, based in the U.S. and Switzerland, was used by the CIA to funnel money to Muslim militants fighting against U.S. enemies in places such as Bosnia and Afghanistan. It is not known when Zahid got involved with the charity, but he was heading the Pakistani branch by 1988 when his nephew Ramzi Youssef first goes to Afghanistan. In the spring of 93, U.S. investigators raided Zahid's house while searching for Youssef. Documents and pictures were found suggesting close links and even a friendship between Zahid and bin Laden. Photos and other evidence also show close links between Zahid, KSM, and government officials close to Nawaz Sharif, who was Prime Minister of Pakistan twice in the 90s. They also discovered that Zahid was seen talking to Pakistani President Farooq Ahmad Khan Lagari during a Mercy International ceremony in February 93. But despite the raid, Zahid apparently keeps his job until 95 when Youssef is arrested in Pakistan. Investigators learn Youssef had made a phone call to the Mercy office, and there is an entry in Youssef's telephone directory for Zahid Sheikh Mohammed. Pakistani investigators raid the Mercy office, but Zahid has already fled. It is unclear what has happened to Zahid since. In 99, it will be reported he is believed to be in Kuwait, but in 2002, the Kuwaiti government will announce that he is a member of Al-Qaeda, so presumably he is no longer welcome there. Mercy International's Kenya branch will later be implicated in the 1998 U.S. Embassy bombing in that country, and so will KSM, Zahid's brother. 88 to 92, the U.S. support for Mujahideen declines. Funds from Saudi donors increase. The U.S. support for the Mujahideen slows down to a trickle because of concerns about dangers of promoting Islamic fundamentalism. The slack is picked up, however, by wealthy individual donors, many of whom are Saudis. These donors seem to favor the most extreme fundamentalist groups among the Mujahideen. August 11th to 20th, 1988, bin Laden forms Al-Qaeda. Bin Laden conducts two meetings to discuss the establishment of a new military group, according to notes that are found later. Notes reveal the group is initially called Al-Qaeda Al-Askariya, which roughly translates to the military base. But the name soon shortens to just Al-Qaeda, meaning the base or the foundation. With the Soviets in the process of withdrawing from Afghanistan, it is proposed to create the new group to keep military jihad or holy war alive after the Soviets are gone. The notes don't specify what the group will do exactly, but it concludes, initial estimates within 6 months of Al-Qaeda founding, 314 brothers will be trained and ready. In fact, Al-Qaeda will remain smaller than that for years to come. Only 15 people attended the first two meetings. In addition to bin Laden, other attendees include the head of the Egyptian militant group Islamic Jihad, Ayman al-Zawahiri, Muhammad Atef, Mamdo Mahmoud Salin, Jamal al-Fadl, Vail Hamza Juladin, Mohammed Lo Bayazid, a U.S. citizen who is note-taker for the meetings. Al-Fadl will reveal details about the meetings to U.S. investigators in 1996. Notes to the meeting will be found in Bosnia in early 2002. It will take U.S. intelligence years to even realize a group named Al-Qaeda exists. The first known incidents of U.S. intelligence being told the name will come in 1993. 1989, Al-Qaeda Golden Chain lists financiers. In March 2002, authorities in Bosnia will raid the offices of the Benevolence International Foundation, BIF, due to suspected funding of Al-Qaeda. The raid will uncover a handwritten list containing the name of 20 wealthy donors sympathetic to Al-Qaeda. The list, referred to as the Golden Chain, contains both the names of the donors and the names of the recipients. Seven of the payments are made to bin Laden, and at least one donation to him is made by the bin Laden brothers. Their first names are apparently not known. UPI will point out that the discovery of this document in Sarajevo calls into question whether Al-Qaeda has received support from one of Osama's scores of wealthy brothers. Adel Badarji, a wealthy Saudi businessman who was also the founder of both BIF, the Benevolence International Foundation, and its predecessor corporation, appears to be mentioned as a recipient three times. Badarji will be named as a defendant in a 2002 lawsuit that attempts to blame some wealthy Saudis for responsibility in the 9/11 plot. Badarji will go to Saudi Arabia for over a year by the time the Golden Chain list will be discovered. Most accounts will be vague on what year the Golden Chain document was written, but counterterrorism czar Richard Clark says it dates from 1989. Al-Qaeda had been formed the year before, and as of 1989, it had yet to be tied to any violent acts. Late 1980s. Al-Qaeda bomber Ramzi Youssef is said to be recruited by the CIA, though details are not known. Author Richard Labivier reported without elaboration in a 95 book, or in a 1999 book, a classified FBI file indicates that Youssef was recruited by the local branch of the CIA. In 95, Newsday will report FBI officials also are considering a probe of whether the CIA had any relationship with Youssef, who fought with the CIA-financed Mujahideen in Afghanistan in the 80s. But there appears to be no further reporting on whether such a probe was conducted. Youssef is believed to have masterminded a series of bombings in the early 90s, including the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and the planned Bojinka attack, before being captured in 95. If Youssef was recruited by the CIA, it must have been in the late 80s when the CIA recruited and trained thousands of people around the world to fight in Afghanistan. In the late 1980s, Youssef was studying engineering at a Wales college, but he'd also joined the Muslim Brotherhood while there. During a break from school in 88, he went to one of bin Laden's training camps in Afghanistan and spent several months honing his bomb-making skills. Late 1980s, U.S. intelligence already investigating Abu Zaibada and California Al-Qaeda operative. New Yorker magazine will later mention American intelligence officials had been investigating Khalil Deek and Abu Zubaydah's activities since at least the late 80s, but it will not be explained why. Deke is a Palestinian and naturalized U.S. citizen living in California for most of the 90s, who will later reportedly mastermind several al-Qaeda bomb plots. Zubaida, also a Palestinian, will later be considered one of al-Qaeda's top operational leaders. Zubaida joins the Palestinian uprising in 1987 when he's only 16. He then goes to Afghanistan, presumably joins with bin Laden, and fights there before the war ends in 89. Between 88 and 96, Deke is apparently involved with the Islamic Association for Palestine, a U.S.-based charity, which the government will later call a front group for the Palestinian militant group Hamas. The IAP is closely tied to the Holy Land Foundation, established near Dallas, Texas, in 1989, and it appears the foundation was investigated from very early on. Deke is living in Dallas that year. Palestinian militant activity through organizations like the IAP may explain why these two are investigated at this time, and or the two may have engaged in other activities. Terrorism expert Rita Katz will later claim that the Jordanian government knew about Deke since the early 90s. They had a lot of interest in him. They really considered him a major terrorist figure. Deke and Zubaida will later work together on a number of operations, for instance, the honey trade to ship drugs and weapons and masterminding a millennium bomb plot in Jordan. Early 89, U.S. supplies sniper rifles to bin Laden's mentor. The U.S. government sends 25 high-powered sniper rifles to a group of fighters in Afghanistan that includes bin Laden. We armed bin Laden. The armor-piercing weapons have range-finding equipment and night-vision scopes. In an early 2001 U.S. court trial, Isam Al-Ridi, a pilot for bin Laden in the early 90s, will recall that he helped ship the weapons to Abdullah Azam, bin Laden's mentor. Azam and bin Laden are close to each other at the time, and Al-Ridi will later testify he sometimes saw the two of them together. The president of the U.S. company that made the rifles will later state that the rifles were picked up by U.S. government trucks, shipped to U.S. government bases, and shipped to those Afghan freedom fighters. The rifles are considered ideal for assassination. This shipment is especially significant because there's a protracted debate within the Reagan administration about sending sniper rifles to Afghanistan due to worries that it could violate a U.S. law against assassinations and put U.S. officials in legal jeopardy. In the end, the U.S. gave less than 100 of such rifles without night vision scopes to the government of Pakistan to pass on to Mujahideen, but the ones sent to Azam had night vision scopes. The timing is also significant since the Soviet Union agreed to withdraw its troops from Afghanistan in 88 and complete the pullout by 89, by February 89, around when these rifles were sent. The rifles given to Pakistan appeared to have arrived before 1987. February 15th, 1989, Soviet forces withdraw from Afghanistan. A convoy of Soviet tanks leave Afghanistan. Soviet forces withdraw from Afghanistan, but Afghan communists retain control of Kabul, the capital, until April 92. It is estimated that more than a million Afghans, 8% of the country's population, were killed in the war, and hundreds of thousands had been maimed by an unprecedented number of landmines. Almost half of the survivors of the war are refugees. Richard Clark, a counterterrorism official during the Reagan and G.H. Bush administrations and the counterterrorism czar by 9/11, later claims that the huge amount of U.S. aid provided to Afghanistan drops off drastically as soon as the Soviets withdraw, abandoning the country to civil war and chaos. Ah, we're familiar with that. The new powers in Afghanistan are tribal chiefs, the Pakistani ISI, and the Arab War veterans coalescing into al-Qaeda. November 24, 1989, bin Laden's mentor assassinated. Sheikh Abdullah Azam was killed in a car bomb in Afghanistan. The killing is never solved. Azam has no shortage of enemies. Suspects include the Mossad, CIA, Afghan warlord Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, the ISI, and bin Laden himself. The reason bin Laden is suspected is because he and Azam were increasingly at odds over what approach to take since the Soviet Union had been driven from Afghanistan early in the year. In the wake of Azam's death, bin Laden takes control of Azam's recruiting and support network, MAK, and merges it with Al-Qaeda.